Our second speaker is someone that when I was doing photography very early on in Houston, one architect said to a major developer, you know, I hope Joe never finds out how good he is. And since she sends me cards every year that she makes by hand, I almost hope that she doesn't find out how good she is, because she is a great artist and she's a great friend and she has a great spiritual program. So I would like to turn this over to my good friend, Chris. Chris, it's all yours.
Oh, gosh, Joe, make me cry. Hi, I'm Chris, grateful overeater. And thank you so much, Bill, for your story. I'm very touched and very grateful to share the spotlight with you tonight. Joe is a good friend of mine. He's my sponsor, and we were having lunch earlier in the week, and he said that he might need me to speak for 20 minutes tonight. I don't mind doing 20 minutes, but I hate doing a whole hour. I don't like to talk very much, but I'll go ahead and qualify. I first started recovery in 1990 as an alcoholic, and I came to OA in 1992, and my AA sponsor fired me. She said, if I can't eat sugar, how am I going to stay sober? And I lost a lot of weight, and I was very successful. And then a couple of years later, life just got too busy, and I kind of quit going. And I made it back, thank God, and I gained a lot of weight. And I realized then that I never wanted to try to do it alone again. And when we were reading the opening, I was really touched by the third step. Joe kind of asked me to talk about how I keep coming back all these years. And I think when I first took that third step, I turned my will and my life over the care of a group of drunks and a group of dieters. And I've never tried to do it alone since. And I'm so grateful for that. Before our program, I was so lonely and miserable and ready for suicide, really. And once I got into these rooms and started feeling the love and started feeling the support, I have never wanted to leave. I do kind of beat myself up a little bit in program, especially OA, because I'm not as successful as I think I should be. I still weigh over 200 pounds, even though I've kept coming back for, what is it now, 25 years. And I've really started to give myself some credit for that and not beat myself up so much. I've taken steroids. I've done a lot to my body, not to make excuses, but my doctor says I eat pretty healthy and he thinks I'm very healthy. I don't have a lot of health problems. And he says the main thing is I seem very happy. And that really made me feel good when he told me that. And so anyway, I've weighed up around 280 and I've been as low as 180 in and out of the program. And right now I just stay kind of in the middle there. And I've worn size 22 and I've worn size 14 and I stay right in the middle there. And I'm okay with that. I haven't had sugar or flour, I think, since 2012. And my main issues today are caffeine, salt, and fat. I still like to drug myself. I have to admit that. I'm a very emotional person. I take medication for my emotions. I'm in four programs for my emotions. I work very hard on trying to stay emotionally sober, but I'm not always perfect and I don't have to be anymore. And I love myself through this stuff without running away. And I still am kind of addicted to isolation too. Joe and I talk about that a lot, how sometimes I just want to crawl up into a ball, you know, and not be around people. And I don't do it very much, and which is such a miracle. I think that's one of the biggest gifts I've gotten out of this program. Is we were talking and I said, we both think that about 90% of the time I'm sane, I'm abstinent, I'm happy, joyous, and free. And what a miracle is that. And I don't have to be that way 100% of the time. And I don't think it's possible. And I don't have to give up just because I'm not reaching perfection. And that's something I learned from my dear friend, Joe. is that it's progress, not perfection. And let's see, what else could I tell you tonight? I was thinking, while I was listening to Phil, just how life just keeps giving me and all of us, you know, just because we got abstinent or sober doesn't mean it was going to get easy. And if life is difficult, life gives me challenges all the time. Life also gives me gifts. And I think that's another thing I've gotten out of the program is my gratitude. I have so much gratitude now about how far I've come and all the things I've gone through. And another thing I think I wanted to share tonight was what's always kept me coming back is I've always had a sponsor and I've always had sponsees. And I would never want to desert them, either one. You know, they have kept me. It's like I'm closer to a lot of people in these rooms than I am my own family. In fact, I am. I've really had a lot of healing with my mother, and I'm not as close to my sister as I'd like, but I love her dearly. And I lost a brother this year. My older brother passed away, and he was only 64. And I have learned a lot from his passing. And one of the things I've learned that anger kills. And if it wasn't for me staying in these rooms, I really think I would have been in the same boat as he and died of all that anger. It came out as heart problems. It came out of stomach cancer and all kinds of things because he lived life so miserably. He had the same child that I had. He was very abused. He was very unhappy, and he had 10 years of wonderful sobriety when he was going to meetings, and he was a wonderful gift. I mean, when he got out of sobriety was just so wonderful. But then he moved out of town and he quit going to meetings and he started isolating. And he lived about 10 years as a dry drunk, as it's called, and he died from his anger. And I took that very hard. And I didn't take it on, though, because I've got a really good Al-Anon program. And I realized that I couldn't have saved him. I did what I could, and I was there for him in the end, and that's all I could do. And but again, I just think that if it wasn't for the 12 steps and for all I, you know, do to stay where I'm at, however imperfect, I could end up there too. And I'm really grateful to be healthy and fairly happy and abstinent. Lately, I've been working on another 12-step program where I'm really learning more about my emotional sobriety, and it's really been healing to learn about some of the trauma that I had during childhood. I'm still living out even at 64 years old, and so I'm learning a lot. And I think it's another thing I call them graduate 12-step programs. You know, my bachelor's degree is in AA, my master's degree is in OA, and I've added several degrees later in AA, or I mean in Al-Anon and ACA. I guess maybe I'm a 12-step addict, but I'd rather be there than dead like my brother. So I'll keep coming back and keep trying to work these. And the people I meet in these rooms, oh my gosh, I got more hugs today going to two meetings than I probably got my whole childhood. You know, I just eat it up, and I'm really grateful for that. And I hope that, you know, I've helped some people as much as I've been helped, because I have been able to, you know, somebody said today that if I hadn't have kept going back in and delving into my past, maybe I wouldn't even be here today, because if I needed to shed so much of that pain in order to shed the pounds, in order to shed the drugs, in order to get rid of all the things I was using to deal with all that emotional turmoil, I had to share. I could not have done this alone. And that's what I want. You know, there's so many people that I've seen, Joe and I talk about this too, that how many hundreds of people we've seen come in and out of these rooms over the years. You know, some of them come in like my brother and they just shine and they get all of this out of it and then they disappear. It's like, did they go off and live life happily ever after? I don't think so, because they didn't come back. I think we're the real winners, the ones that keep coming back. And I've had to keep coming back through a lot. And I've had to come with crumbs on my lap and tears running down my face and throwing chairs and all kinds of emotion. And you guys have let me do that because you didn't want me to go out and hurt myself. So you let me express it and let me share it. And the vulnerability it takes to stay clean and sober and abstinent is something that some people just can't do. And I've watched my husband, who is in a nursing home, he's been in a nursing home for over 10 years now with alcoholic dementia and lots of other health problems. I'm not sure why he's still alive. It's really pretty sad. My mom said one time that it's worse to live than to die. And I think that he's not had a very happy life. I haven't checked on him or anything because it's too confusing, but he relapsed into alcohol and it didn't kill him like he wanted it to. It just destroyed his mind and his life. And, you know, I didn't let that stop me either. I kept coming back and people like Joe put up with a lot of anger during those years. Because it really pissed me off. But in order not to eat over it and in order not to drink and drug or kill myself over it, I had to express a lot of that. I didn't always do it in a pretty way, but I feel, you know, I lived through it and I'm here to tell about it. And I'm here to say that this works no matter what. And Joe, you know, I just really am trying to come up with stuff to talk about. I'm having a really hard time. So I think I'll stop. I love you all. And thanks for listening. And good night.
Thank you, Chris. I love you.
I love you.
Okay. I'm sure Chris and Chris, would you put your phone number in the chat? Someone asked, please. Are there any questions for Phil or for Chris? Or anybody would just like to share about their own problems, health problems, or keep coming back or whatever. You're welcome to this. We can have open sharing.
I'm Beth, a compulsive overeating. I'll share. Thank you both to Phil and Chris for your qualifications. It's been awesome to hear both of your stories. And I do have the pleasure of being in the same meetings with Chris. And I'm just very, very grateful for watching her recovery. And so, you know, I think Chris, Joe mentioned your artwork. And I'm curious if you might share, you know, what has your art done for you and in your recovery? And is there any kind of encouragement you might have for others who maybe have a talent or an arts or something that might could help them in their recovery?
Wow, you're so sweet to ask that question. I love you so much. Yeah, it started... I've always kind of done art. Even when I was a little kid, it was one of the things I was praised for. And my mother, dear heart, put me in some art lessons when I was a kid. But it was something that, you know, I knew I really couldn't make a living at. So I became a teacher and I've always used art. But in recovery, especially the last 5 years, now that I've got, I think I had to heal a lot. I mean, I really had to heal a lot. It's become a spiritual activity for me. When I paint, I don't think. I just am. And it came from the ACA program, really. We'd sit at that table and color. I'm serious. And it was like going back into my childhood, doing what I love to do. And it just makes me smile to talk about it because I do it every day. I do it as part of my meditation in the morning. And because of the support of friends like you, I am a selling artist. I sell art. Who'd ever thought? And that's not why I do it, though. That is not why I do it. And I did a lot of work over my brother's passing. He had a whole book of writing, and I was so amazed at how beautiful his handwriting was. So I did a lot of collage work. Oh, Joe, put that down. That is not one of my better ones. Thank you. Anyway, love
it is
you.
A beautiful one.
Anyway, that's enough. Thank you. Thank you for asking me to share about that. Love you all. And let me say, Joe is a fine artist now, too. He was a photographer for a living, but he is a fine artist. I mean, I'm down here. He's like fine art. He's like museum quality. Love you.
Thank you. Love you. Lee.
Hi, I'm Lee, compulsive overeater. Thank you to both Phil and Chris. You know, there's a saying that growing old is not for the faint of heart. And, you know, I can agree with that. I've had both knees replaced, both hips replaced. I was supposed to get a shoulder replaced, riddled with arthritis. But you know what? I'm still moving along. I'm still doing things, quality of life that I enjoy. I think, you know, attitude is so important, I really think. And, you know, I'm using a cane again because my ankle every so often feels like it wants to go on me. So I use the cane. And I think what the cane is showing me, or God is showing me by using the cane, how many kind people there still are in the world. Because I will be approaching a store and people actually run ahead so they can open the door for me. And I find that just incredible in this day and age with so many awful things that go on, that there's just so many kind people walking around, you know? And that's God's doing. I really believe that. And it's, you know, it's okay to be humble. You know, I accept where I am today, and I'm just glad. I'm not ready for the dirt nap yet, for sure. So thank you. Both of you speakers were very inspirational. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Marlon?
Well, hello, my OA family. Thank you both as speakers. And I'm so glad to be here and glad to have this support. I actually have joined an additional 12-step that's Chronic Pain Anonymous, CPA, and I have enjoyed the using the steps from OA and the 12-step
to be able to go along with my chronic pain. We lost you, Marlon. We can't hear you.
All right. That's okay. I'll pass.
Okay, good. Well, you came back. Okay. Rona.
Hi. Thanks, Joe. Thank you to the speakers. It was very great to hear them both. I know that Chris mentioned, you mentioned, Chris, about the groups being your more or less like your spiritual power. Do you have any other higher power? And Phil could answer as well, if he'd like to, on the topic of what their concept of higher power is.
Well, thank you for asking. I go back and forth. I do know that I do feel an energy in this universe, and I'm a part of it. I'm very reactive to it. And I don't necessarily believe in the God of my childhood. That was Santa Claus, and I fired Santa Claus when he let my dad die and my husband end up in the nursing home and all of that kind of stuff, because I never get what I want. I do get what I want. I get what I need. And I guess my higher power is still the groups. And I hear higher power in other people. And I feel higher power in my energy and in my soul. And I can't define it, but thank you for asking.
Thank you.
Phil?
So I grew up in a moderately strong traditional religious environment, and we were given the choices, young people, to continue or not. I've always had a strong sense of faith, but I haven't always had the tool set to make use of that sense of faith. And I think when I looked at both of my addictions, I was able to use that sense of faith to reach out to my definition of a higher power, which is kind of amorphous, but it's something I can't touch. But I know that there is a sense of goodness and rightness and support for me. And that's what works for me. I'm able to give up things that I wasn't able to give up before. And I'm able to say to myself, through my belief in that faith power, that things are going to turn out okay. And I've had experiences that have borne that out. So that's what works for me.
Thank you. Hannah? You have to unmute, Hannah.
Yeah, I always forget. Thank you, Joe, and thank you, Phil and Chris. Enjoyed your talks. And what made me chuckle a little bit, because, all of us are getting up there in age, and if you had talked about what you talked about when I came, when I was in my 30s, I probably would have thought, what are they talking about? But, of course, today I understand it, because I have all the things, not all, everything you talked about, but my own thing. And juggling the time between this and that, doctors, I always say 20 years ago, I didn't know how to spell the word. Today, we're going steady. But if I had kept going the way I was going when I came to program, I wouldn't be here anymore, because everybody in my family died before they turned 70. And don't tell anybody, but I'm going towards 84. And so, they smoked, and some of them drank. On one side, they drank. The other side, they ate. And so they just always, they never, and also, Chris was talking about her husband, and my brother-in-law just went that way, and he wasn't 70 either. So those are the things. And, only because I'm in program, it doesn't mean that I don't get anything. I had a wonderful husband. He had a long, long time in his program, sober, but he died at 57, and whatever is meant to be. And I never believed in miracles because, there weren't any. I come from a non-religious background, but today I do, because the miracle is that I came, and even though I kind of slipped, for a few months, I'm still here, and I have abstained for a long time, and I don't have to carry all that weight. And that's just things that come with age, and acceptance. That's my favorite word. And I didn't even know. I knew the word. I knew how to spell it, but I didn't know what it meant. And I have to ask my higher power every morning, and I do. It's like my little ritual to help me accept what comes my way, and then as I got older, I said, including the pain, and, I just added that to it, and also to help me with my abstinence just for today, with all the stuff that's going on, the earthquakes and so, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow, but I was living in the past or in the future, how bad the past was, and oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. No, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and this program has taught me that, and I also always ask, help me to treat others. So let me treat others the way I would like to be treated. Because nowadays you have to wait on the phone for a long time, for people to answer. And the idea is, they don't do it right. So you want to be a little harsh. But no, I don't do that. My motto, I learned that in program, kill them with kindness. And all this is due to the program and the steps. And that's a miracle. So I do believe in miracles. And I do believe in a higher power. Not a religious higher power, but something bigger than me. And there wasn't anything bigger than me when I came. So today, it's a wonderful life. Thank you.
Thank you. One of the things, like you, Hannah said, it's sometimes difficult growing old. And I remember couple of years ago, I was having some heart problems and went to the doctor, and he said, well, you're going to have a pacemaker. And I said, look, when do you want to put it in? And I think he was shocked, because I think most people would have argued and everything else. And, you know, I don't know if you know about a pacemaker, but they put it in, they don't put you to sleep completely. And so I was joking around with him, and I said, you know, I wished I could have brought my camera in here to photograph this. And he said, oh, no, we couldn't do that. And I don't think he got the joke about it all. But it's, you know, one of the things I got out of both Chris and Phil over the years is acceptance. Acceptance is the key. And, you know, accepting what comes along and doing the next right thing to take care of Joe. And I think that that is the most important thing.